Good morning, everyone. Go ahead and turn to Acts, the 24th chapter. This is an exhortation that I did for a young man to try to teach him a little about our position in this world, what we really are. That we are really but dust and ashes. And we only have one way out. So I hope you get that out of this. I'll read to begin verse 14 and 15 of 24 Acts. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. Now this word, resurrection, or anastasis, in the Greek, signifies a rising up, a standing up, to cause to rise from the dead. And this word only occurs about 40 times in the New Testament, but never once does it occur in the Old Testament. Even though it is surely implied and taught. Turn back a couple of pages. To Luke chapter 20. Verse 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Now this is unquestionable proof of what Moses taught, because this is also found in Exodus 3:6. He taught that the resurrection of some from among the dead ones. When Moses said this, Lord, the God of Abraham, in the original he was saying Yahweh Elohim and the powerful ones. This was the name of the eternal spirit, even Yahweh. We know that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the ancient worthies, Moses, are now dead and buried in the grave without any existence whatsoever except for their historical character. Yet, though they're dead, they live unto God. Paul says in Romans 4:17, Yahweh, who make the dead ones living, calls the things not existing as though they are. So Yahweh really is the God of the living, those that are his. David also speaks of the resurrection in Psalms. In Psalms 1:5, it is stated that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Also in verse 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. In Psalm 6:5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? Psalms 115:17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into the pit, into silence. In Ecclesiastes 9:5, 6, and 10, the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Their love, their hatred, their envy are now all perished. Hence, there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, whither thou goest. Sheol is styled in Job 10:22, the land of darkness. And in Psalms 88:12, the land of forgetfulness. So all of our race go to the grave when we depart from among the living. This is our lot. We all die. In death, they are said to sleep. Some shall never awake. They sleep a perpetual sleep, as is stated in Jeremiah. Also in Isaiah 26:14, it is written, they are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made their memory to perish. So, after 8 different passages from the Old Testament, we must come to this understanding of death. That is, the death of the wicked, and not necessarily those that are covenanted. Proverbs 21:16. There we have a profound statement. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So if you would turn to Job, the 20th chapter. Verse 4. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach into the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hands shall restore their goods. His bones are full of sin, of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. So this is the fate of the wicked ones. But all will not sleep this perpetual sleep. Some have hope. We have hope, brothers and sisters. We have hope. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And in Psalms 116:15, David said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Those dead ones are saints who, while living, have obtained a good report through faith, which is the full assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And those that truly believe in God and believe that He has provided us a way out from under this condemnation, this death. For us, we look forward to even eternal life. That's more than we can imagine, eternal life. Again, let's in Job, I want to read Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in who? It's found in me. I'm the problem. I'm my own problem. My worst enemy is myself. Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know that there is a judgment. Job knew that he would stand again, along with all the ancient worthies who have held the true faith. Will we be there? We will. We'll stand at the judgment seat. This was an awakening to a renewed existence when we are resurrected. It is a reorganization of our disintegrated remains of the dust. Isaiah says in 26:19, for the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. The Sadducees utterly denied the resurrection. But Jesus said they erred, not knowing the scriptures. Well, what scriptures is that? The only ones they had is the Old Testament. They knew not the power of the deity. This is still the problem today. And that is not knowing the scriptures. Most in the religious world believe in an immortal soul, saying that this is the thinking I, the real man, that is the soul, which was created in the image and likeness of God's. At death, it is said, it is not death, but only a separation of the body and the soul, in which there are two separate places, the Elysium fields or hell. Which belong, you know, the Elysium fields, they say, you go beyond the realms of time and space. Or Tartarus, or however you say it, or hell, in which your soul goes and burns for ceaseless ages of eternity. So, if rewards and punishment are awarded at death, then the resurrection is utterly denied. Paganism and the traditions of the heathen were blended with the true faith by men of perverse minds and have made the truth of God into a lie. Without an awakening and a coming forth from the dust, there would be neither punishment nor blessedness. Without resurrection, all the promises of God, which he confirmed by two immutable things, his word and his existence, are just reduced to cunningly devised fables. No resurrection means no salvation. No honor, no incorruptibility, nor life in the kingdom of God. So how does resurrection take place? Well, before we talk about that, we need to see where man come from. In Genesis, Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then he became a living soul. Still in Genesis 3, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. For this we learn that God's invisible power and his spirit is in control. He can give life and he can withdraw it as he sees fit. Solomon made reference to this in Ecclesiastes 8:8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of his death. Again in Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. So since man in death has no breath, no knowledge, no life, and has returned, he must be, if he is in covenant relationship and he is raised from the dead, he must be reformed or regenerated from his own dust and the breath of life breathed back into him. Romans 14:10 states, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is, the all who have been raised. It doesn't mean there every person that has ever lived. It's those in relationship. Those that are qualified, that have been baptized. Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. For what? 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone, of course everyone that's there, may receive the things done while on probation in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Those who are given life everlasting have during their probation sown to the Spirit. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together with him. So if we are not in Christ, we have no hope. But in Christ, we do have hope. We got to do right. We got to do right by each other. Romans 2, would you turn there, please? Start at verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But, glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law, that is, those that are not in covenant relationship, shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So that's telling us that those that are baptized and have come into covenant relationship are going to be judged by what we have done. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. And can you see that, the way the world is going? Everybody does what they want to do, and you can't tell them any different. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Thank you.